This hour of programming is sponsored in part by attorney Baku Patel of Patel Law, who practices Social Security disability law and represents those who have been denied benefits. There are no fees unless Patel Law wins your case. You can contact Patel Law at 217-384-1111 for a free consultation to discuss your Social Security disability case. Patel Law is located at 108 West University Avenue in Urbana with offices in Danville and Decatur. For more information, visit patellawteam.com or call 217-384-1111. Today's Disability Beat is sponsored by our community partner, Jets Pizza. Jets uses only premium ingredients, including dough made fresh daily. Jets Pizza stores are located at 512 South Neal Street in Champaign. Their number 217-352-3333 and 1907 West Springfield Avenue. Their number 217-352-9992. You can order online at jetspizza.com. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat.
My name is Jess Vine from Monday Night R&R. You're listening to Disability on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, community radio for East Central Illinois, or online at weft.org.
This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Claudia Lenhoff, Executive Director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. But first, we have a little bit of information to share with you. I have Sandra Otten in the studio and with Claudia, and we're here to tell you a little bit about the WEFT Fall Pledge Drive.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you. This is Sandra. So I was listening to, is it Higher Consciousness? Is that the show that you had on?
Time of Useful Consciousness.
It was really bringing me, my consciousness up a level, which, you know, WEFT has actually done through the years. I remember when we didn't have Democracy Now before that, and Democracy Now was really something that politicized me, that really educated me and got me into activism and making... having an understanding of the social injustices really in the world and how pervasive they are. And WEFT has been that for me. And today I was talking with my daughter-in-law, and she was mentioning the pledge drive and said how much that Democracy Now! Was her favorite show, that she learned so much from Democracy Now! And did you hear the interview today with Ta-Nehisi Coates on Democracy Now! It's just an amazing show. And all the public affairs programming here at WEFT make a difference in the world. You know, it really does. Like, it's not just an idea that it makes a difference. It makes a solid difference. I've done a lot of activism as I've lived here for the last 20 years. And seriously, most of it has been through awareness that has come because I have been able to listen to News from Neptune, to Democracy Now!, to all the... you know, the shows about social justice, Prairie Monk's show, Aaron Ammon's show on Saturday morning, used to be John Lee Johnson's show. So anyway, I'm really asking that those people who have been moved by the work that has been accomplished because of WEFT, that you please call in your support. We're really looking forward to taking your calls. And I'm going to be matching some pledges today. So
awesome.
Yeah. So if anybody can call in before 6 o'clock, so you've got 25 minutes to call in, I'm going to match whatever pledge you make. And so challenging you, really kind of an unlimited thing. I would probably put a cap on it if I would have to, but I don't think I'm going to have to. I think I'll probably keep it under $1,000 surely, but let's hear it. Let's hear you light the phones up. Whoever's listening, if you haven't pledged yet today, you need to do that because I'm going to match your pledges today. And fixed it. But at 6 o'clock, we want to get the phones lit up.
So it's only a half hour, less than a half hour to go. The number 217-359-9338. So just if you give a $50 pledge and Sandra matches a $50 pledge, then that gets you a WEF t-shirt for fall pledge drive.
And they're very cool t-shirts.
Yeah, and they are very cool. Mm-hmm. Red and purple this year. So very good. The number one more time, 359-9338. Sandra, a call. Sandra and Al are both here ready to answer your phone call. So please do that and stay tuned to Disability Beat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. So let's do a little bit of the news for this week, and then we'll go ahead with our interview with Claudia Unhoff. As school starts for many students across the country, one issue that has been building for 2 years appears to be headed to a dramatic head for one child's first day of school. Christian Killoran of Remsenburg, New York, wants his 12-year-old son, who has Down syndrome, to attend the same middle school as his friends and siblings, but says the West Hampton Beach School District in New York will not let Aiden Killoran in. But his dad says he plans to show up at the school on the first day with Aiden and supporters. The school had requested a temporary restraining order to keep the Killorans off school property. In U.S. District Court last week, however, the family and the school reached an agreement that a restraining order would not be needed. Speaking of students with disabilities whose performance is evaluated in ways other than traditional testing, Mr. Killoran said, quote, "The West Hampton School District has never in history allowed an alternately assessed special education student to attend its middle school," end quote. This would include students with cognitive and other disabilities. Thousands of people with disabilities in Minnesota have been forced needlessly to wait months and even years for community-based services because the state has underspent more than $1 billion in public funds, according to a lawsuit filed in federal court. Attorneys representing a group of people with disabilities allege that for nearly two decades, the Minnesota Department of Human Services has mismanaged money set aside under Medicaid, the state and federal health insurance program, for services intended to help people with disabilities live more meaningful and integrated lives in their communities. More than 5,000 Minnesotans with intellectual and developmental disabilities have been placed in county waiting lists, in some cases for decades or more, for Medicaid benefits known as waivers, which fund a wide variety of community-based services from personal caregiving in the home to job coaching and transportation to day treatment programs. The lawsuit alleges that in many cases, people are kept on these waiting lists for extended periods without ever being told that there are adequate waiver funds to pay for their services. The Muscular Dystrophy Association announced in May that for the first time in decades, it will not organize a telethon to raise money. Comedian Jerry Lewis hosted the telethon for more than 40 years, and the show attained such status that it was once broadcast for 21 consecutive hours from coast to coast. Mike Irvin is a Chicago-based writer and a disability rights activist with ADAPT, a national disabilities rights organization. Mike lives with muscular dystrophy and was a poster child for the telethon. Following is his statement from a recent article. Quote, "As a person with muscular dystrophy, I'm relieved to know that this will be the first Labor Day weekend of my adult life without a muscular dystrophy telethon. I spent many past Labor Day weekends joining other people with disabilities and protesting the telethon. We protested because we objected to the telethon's damaging narrative that depicted disabled people as nothing more than helpless victims. It implied that as long as we remain disabled, we have nothing to offer or contribute, that our only hope was a cure. The telethon put forth the false and simplistic notion that the best way to serve disabled people is to contribute to behemoth charities that claim they will cure us. I found this message to be not only insulting, but also destructive. By pandering to pity, the telethon nurtured the very stigma of helplessness in which disability discrimination is rooted. It undermined the hard work of disability rights activists who have fought for decades to debunk the oppressive stigma. These activists correctly portray people with disabilities as a community engaged in a struggle for our civil and human rights. They put forth the message that disabled people have much to offer and that it is everyone's responsibility to create a society that welcomes and accommodates us as we are. Jerry Lou was hired from hosting the telethon in 2011. The telethon became increasingly shorter in the years that followed. Now it is gone. It's a sign of great progress that the pity sales pitch is no longer resonating. End quote. And that's the news for this week.
Labor Day, TV's on. Time for another telethon. I got those Jerry Lewis blues. MDA, well, it's okay. I don't like what Jerry say. I got those Jerry Lewis blues. Look at that pretty poster child. Make a pledge, make him smile. Got those Jerry Lewis blues. Pity Jackie, pity Joe. Pity brings in a lot of dough. I got those Jerry Lewis blues. Well, he says if you're imprisoned in a wheelchair, maybe you should stay inside your house. Then you can throw things at your TV set every time he opens up his mouth.
This is WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki Nyswander, joined by my guest in the studio today, Claudia Lenhoff, who should have been on the show a few years ago, but we finally got her on. Claudia is the executive director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers, an organization that does a lot of good for many people, not just folks with disabilities, but I know of many who depend on their services. So very glad to have her here. Just a reminder, before you get too busy listening to the program, go to your phone and call 359-9338 and make your pledge to WEFT. Sandra and Al are waiting for your call, and Sandra says she's going to match any call that comes in. That means that if you pledge $50 and she matches $50 pledge, you'll be able to get a WEFT t-shirt, and more than that, you'll get to have the chance to support great community radio here in East Central Illinois. So again, the number 359-9338, and I'd like to welcome to the show Claudia Lenhoff. Welcome, Claudia.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
So I know you said your voice is a little weak today, but we'll try and make up for it with good content and good volume on the microphone. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with helping people in need of healthcare services. How did that happen for you? And then tell a little bit about Healthcare Consumers as an organization.
Okay. Well, I started out with Champaign County Healthcare Consumers as a volunteer back in 1995. And that's when the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers was organizing to create a countywide public health department. Prior to 1996, Champaign County residents who lived outside of Champaign-Urbana were not served by public health. This was something that was completely incomprehensible to me. I just couldn't believe it. And so Healthcare Consumers organized a voter referendum in 1996 to be put on the ballot, and people would have the opportunity to vote in to create a countywide public health department. And I was hooked from there because I saw that this was a way of creating health policy from the ground up in the community based on the community's needs and people's needs. And I really fell in love with the work and saw the direct benefits of the work. And then sometime after that, I was able to join the staff of Healthcare Consumers. And it's just fascinating work. We're constantly working with people who are affected by the healthcare system, by changes in policy, local programs, and so on. And I started with Healthcare Consumers about 19 years ago.
That long. Wow. Yeah. So give folks a sampling of some of the issues that you deal with on a day-to-day basis. What are the most common things that come to your attention?
Okay. Well, right now, one of the most common things that comes to our attention, of course, is people who lack health insurance, but who need health care. And so right now we're in the era of the Affordable Care Act. And so we're in a very good position where we can help people get enrolled in health insurance. And most of the people who come to us actually qualify for the newly expanded Medicaid, and because they're lower income, and this program is now available because of the state of Illinois and the Federal Affordable Care Act. And so we're able to get people the coverage that they need and then also get them into the healthcare system so that they can get the healthcare that they need. And most people who come to us do have a pressing health problem. One of the other really big issues that we see is people are having a hard time affording their prescription drugs. Even if they have health insurance, a lot of times, even with small copays, like $3 or $4 copays, those are unaffordable to people who are lower income, and especially if they have more than one prescription that they have to fill every month. And so we help people with that as well. Access to dental care for people who are lower income or uninsured, or even people who have health insurance for dental care, but it leaves them with a lot of out-of-pocket responsibility, is a huge issue. And then also, of course, there's a lot of need for mental health services. And we're fortunate that we're able to know where the services are available and help link people, you know, with the various services, whether it's mental health or physical health or prescription drug assistance. But it's pretty basic stuff that we see. But a lot of times it's very complicated by simple things like somebody might need to apply for health insurance and maybe they'll qualify for Medicaid, but they don't have an ID. So then we need to help them get an ID, you know. And so there's issues like that, you know, those little roadblocks along the way that can seem insurmountable to somebody who is under stress or who doesn't know their way around the system.
So it sounds very much like an advocacy organization of sorts.
We definitely provide advocacy both on the individual level and then also on policy issue and legislative issues. And a lot of our work can be categorized, a lot of our individual client-based work can be categorized under community health worker kind of work, which can involve case management, advocacy, assistance, referral, you know, all of those kinds of very intensive human services. We also see, I didn't mention, we also see a lot of people who have Medicare and are having issues around their Medicare coverage. Maybe they need help, again, with prescription drugs or with affording out-of-pocket expenses, or they're dually enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid, and, you know, there can be a lot of issues around that.
It seems like there are still a lot of struggles around, even with the Affordable Care Act, that people don't necessarily understand that they may still have copays that are really, really high that they may not be able to afford. How do you help them judge all the hurdles that exist or seem to exist in this system?
It can be very time consuming, and you have to have patience, and you have to approach this work from a consumer education perspective. There's an issue with what people call health literacy. You know, some people, especially if they've never had health insurance before, they may not know the difference between premiums, deductibles, copays, and coinsurance. And all of those things basically represent out-of-pocket costs related to having health insurance. And so we have to help people figure out, you know, what those things are and what they mean within the plans that they are eligible for, and then help them figure out what they can afford. And a lot of times there are people who kind of fall in between. They can qualify for health insurance, but maybe it's a higher deductible plan, which leaves them with significant out-of-pocket debt, and it, you know, if they were to incur it. And so we also know about other programs, for example, Carl's Community Care. So we, a lot of times, will enroll somebody not just in health insurance, but in maybe one of the local programs that can help minimize the out-of-pocket expense that they would have so that they can go and get their health care. We want everybody going and getting preventive and primary care and not just waiting until it's an emergency, you know, because they're afraid of being able to afford their health care even with health insurance.
Okay, so we just got a caller. Al's bringing in we want to thank, Brian Slatiky for calling in with his pledge. Thank you very much, Brian. And give that number one more time, 217-359-9338.
From Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow. That's right. I actually know him.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So thank you, Brian.
I don't know, but thank you. That's wonderful.
So, yeah, the number 359-9338, make your pledge, and Sandra's going to match it. We're going to make her go to the poorhouse today, hopefully.
So every time we call somebody who makes a pledge, we also need to thank, or every time we thank somebody who makes a pledge, we also need to thank Sandra.
Sandra as well. Yeah, absolutely. So that's great news. So we were talking about the Affordable Care Act, and one thing that I've noticed, and I think it kind of plays into this idea of, you know, understanding all the ramifications, is that if you have something with a high deductible and then you need to have surgery, then you may still avoid that because you think, you know, I can't afford that $3,000 copay. How high do these copays go? How high can they go?
The deductibles can go pretty high. I think, I'm not sure, I should probably defer to our staff who work on this more closely than I do, but I think some deductibles can go to $5,000 and $6,000. And so so it really helps to work with somebody like the staff at Champaign County Healthcare Consumers to help you figure out what is the best plan for you and then what to do if you do have to have a plan that has a high deductible. But a lot of times the deductibles can be, you know, $2,000 and $3,000, and that can be really unaffordable. And then at that point in time, unless the person has other resources, that health insurance plan can end up being more like a catastrophic health care plan. Like you said, they may not use it unless, you know,
it's something
it's
really
an
bad.
Emergency. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's why we like to work with our clients to help them figure out other resources as well so that they can use their health insurance. The goal of the Affordable Care Act was never only to provide health insurance. The goal was to provide health insurance and affordable health care and to get people getting into the healthcare system and getting healthy, whether that's through preventive health or primary care or specialty care. And, you know, because a lot of people have been out in the cold for so long and haven't had even just annual checkups, which are really, really important, especially as people age. You know, it becomes more and more important to have an annual checkup and to have a baseline of, you know, your basic health indicators and to work with a physician or a provider who knows you and your health history. And in that way, if something changes, you know, they're much better equipped to deal with it.
Absolutely. So how many people does Champaign County Healthcare Consumers serve?
Well, we conservatively, I'll say we serve about 100 people a month.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have closer to 700 to 800 client contacts a month. Meaning that a lot of times, you know, we'll work with a new client, but we may need to see them again later in the month to follow through on something that we've started with them. So it's very intensive, very, you know, human-based work, and we don't charge any service. We don't charge any fees for our services.
So your funding comes through the county? Champaign County?
No, we're a non-governmental nonprofit, just like WEFT. So we rely on contributions from community members. We'll do fundraisers and we'll appeal, you know, for funding. Like we just sent out what's called a direct mail, which is where we tell people who are on our mailing list about the services that we provide and, you know, ask them to help support us so that we can continue to do those services. We do also get some funding from foundations. We get some funding from the city of Urbana through their social services grant, for which we're very grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So we are funded through a variety of means, but it's not very different than WEFT. You're continually just struggling to survive, and you really try to have a variety of methods of bringing funds into the organization.
And so of the 500 to 700 people that you serve every month, approximately how many of those might you say are people who have identified disabilities? You can include people who are in the group, you know, of older adults, certainly, but people with intellectual disabilities, mental illness, roughly.
Roughly, I would say probably about 50%.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would have guessed.
And I think you're right. A lot of times people may not self-identify as having a disabling condition, but in practical terms, they are living with a disabling condition. And especially as people get older or people are perhaps going through an illness or recovering from something, sometimes it's temporary, but not always. But yeah, we serve a lot of people who are living with disabilities.
And so we're almost out of time, but just, you know, what information is it that you haven't shared yet that you think is really, really important to get to the listeners here today?
Well, thank you so much for asking me that. We actually have a couple of open enrollment periods coming up this is for health insurance. So for the health insurance marketplace, there will be an open enrollment period November 1 of this year through January 31 of next year. So if anybody is uninsured, you know, give us a call and we'll work with you and help you figure out what you qualify for. Likewise, for Medicare Part D, there is an open enrollment period, which starts October 15th through December 7th of this year. And we will actually be having a community meeting for Medicare open enrollment on Wednesday, October 14th at 10:30 a.m. at the Champaign Public Library.
And so if people want more information on any of those, can you give the number or contact information?
Yes. It's area code 217-352-6533. So 217-352-6533. And all you have to do is call and just tell the receptionist that you need help with health insurance or Medicare or whatever it is, and we'll get you to one of our community health workers, and they'll help you out.
And no charge for services.
No charge whatsoever.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Claudia Lenhoff, Executive Director of Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And don't forget those pledges. They're still coming in. 359-9338. Make your call and pledge your support to WEFT Community Radio. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are podcast on our website at www.disabilitybeat.com, or go to Facebook and look for Disability Beat Radio. Please send your comments and show ideas for guests or topics to disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Hope you have a great week.
What did you think of Miley Cyrus at the VMA Music Awards? Did you read a buzz about that?
Yeah, I read a little bit about it. I saw mostly it was pictures.
Pictures? Oh, of her outfits and
stuff?
Yeah,
of her outfits.